It's about 6:32. Does anyone know if Ed is coming? Okay. Then, yeah. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:32. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Esri.
Here.
Michaels. Present. Rodriguez. Sexton. Store.
Present.
Straub. Here. Locke.
Here. All right. First up, we have approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion? Esri. Second. Straub. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Next up, approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Michaels? Second store? Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I don't see any public, so there's no public participation. Any communications from the board? No?
Oh
yes. Ms. Michaels.
One of the things that happened this last Saturday was that veterans little open house that had to do with some helping with some mental health issues and other items too. So I did go to that at Smith Hall, and Jeff Wilson was there too. And I think it was fairly well attended. They had several people lined up with all different kinds of activities as far as information for where they could go to get help and whatnot. And then the other part of that was I did see that the director of that and another couple people were interviewed. And I didn't see the Channel 3 thing, but I know they were interviewed by some sort of media because it was the big camera. So that would be good. And they appreciate everything the county's done for this veterans. I think, yeah.
Great. Any other communications? All right, moving on, we have the sheriff and Captain Vogus with us. Please feel free to educate us.
Well, I guess I should start with, I want to make sure that we take this time to answer any questions that you guys really have, mainly because I know you guys have had multiple meetings. This is the first one I'm coming to, but one that is dear to my heart. I know it's been something that's been discussed a lot with the sheriff, as well as how we can better our community, as well as the jail. But I'm a firm believer that this isn't just going to start at the jail or start on the outside. This has to be a full circle approach. So there's a lot that we currently do in the jail, but there's a lot that I think we still can do. And these are conversations that I have had over the last several years, not only from the Sheriff's Association approach, because they're starting to also look at ways that jails can possibly help, whether it be programming, whether it be handoffs into the community. The biggest issue that I think most of us have faced, and mind you, we're not a small community compared to many counties, but it's still that handoff is the biggest concern everybody has. They just do not have what they need, one, in their community, or statewide when it comes to treatment or facilities needed to basically get that next step of treatment that they need. So, of course, that's not new for any of us. And if anything, we're probably in a better position than a lot of the counties around us. But that is one thing. In the last year, I've met twice with Carl and their outreach program because they have special outreach, opioid outreach. And we talked a little bit about options that they have, directions that they're starting to go either in the ER or as far as substance abuse assistance, which again, it's still fairly new for them. They have a spot you can go to for help, but it's not necessarily going to be, oh, you get to go to a bed or something of that nature. Of course, that was my approach with them, was I don't mind doing something in the jail, but I sure would love to see, could you help out in some way? I can't speak for Carl, but that's kind of where I came at it with them, was just that, you know, I can start something, but what are you going to do as on the bigger scale, knowing that maybe money is more there than it is where we have it. So we had those two conversations. Not much came from that, mainly because I basically explained the situation of I'm a little concerned with the MAT program inside of the jail, only because you're looking at several different individuals that come in and lengths of stay.
Can you define MAT for us before you go farther? So that
medical assisted treatment.
Perfect. I thought that's what it was, but I didn't want to assume.
And I'll be honest, I'm not an expert on that part, so I hate to act like I am, but I know it's something that we've been educating ourselves about, and I'm trying to speak to other jails that are considering possibly looking into that. But it's kind of a scary thing for us because we try to keep certain things out of the jail. We try to ensure that they are as clean as possible inside the jail. And often, especially when it comes to drug court, they go to locations, whether it be Rosecrans locally or other facilities that are substance abuse related, and they're usually sober at the time. And that's the way they like it. So that's where I battle a little bit internally, just to be honest with you guys, is, you know, we need to consider the fact that we have individuals that are overdosing. I don't want to be part of that. So I don't want them to come in and we withdraw them just for them to go right back out and try to use the same way. Okay. So that's a concern that a lot of people have. But at the same time, if I have someone in custody now with the new Safety Act and how we're doing detention hearings, you're either in or you're out. And if you're in, you could be in for months fighting your case. There's no bond. There's no option for you to get out. I struggle a little bit with starting a MAT program, knowing that I could bring Suboxone or methadone or something into a jail for somebody who could be there long term. Do I keep them on something long term, or do we get them resources in the jail on how to start that process of recovery and, you know, sobriety? I would love to see that part. And when it comes to the money, and you guys are the experts on what all you can do with this, but I think we can do a whole lot better with trying to find out, one, work with Rosecrans, figure out where are our barriers there and what can we do better, because they're already in the jail. So they're already in there full-time and a half-time person, mainly working on that frequent flyer, that person that's coming in regularly, if you guys remembered that, still meeting with them, and they're currently doing assessments for substance abuse. So they're currently doing that right now in the jail. The question is, though, is how many more people could we reach that have this issue but just aren't part of drug court? And there's only a few handful of people that go through drug court. And that is an area that I have yet to reach out to Judge Dyer, which I think was here last month, as well as probation, Shannon Siders, as well as the PD. I would love for us, even if it's just me gathering them together and say, what do you think is the perfect potion, or what do you think we as a team can do? Because we all have to work together. You know, I want to make sure that probation is set up for success for those individuals that come in that need something right away, and maybe they don't have the funding for it. I think it's the same thing for drug court. I can't speak for him, but I'm sure there's so much more that we can do there, either to get more people involved in the program, but I also don't want to step on his toes and say, hey, I want to start a MAT program that all of a sudden he's like, no, I'm trying to do drug court. So that's why I say I want to be careful on whose toes I step on tonight, speaking to you guys. But I do think it would help us to speak to several people that this involves, not just me. But I do know it's something that I've talked to the sheriff a little bit about. But as far as, I mean, it's a known thing. The majority of the individuals that come into the jail now have one or the other, or majority of the time, co-occurring disorders of both mental health and substance abuse. A lot of the times, we don't even get to understand their underlying issue until they're withdrawn, until we know they're no longer using. Now all of a sudden the mental health issues are showing, you know, face forward, or they're able to start recognizing the programs they're going to, whether it be GROW or whether it be whatever it might be. Now they're really engaging. But again, I mean, we have AA, we have NA. We have a few programs in the jail that are geared around substance abuse, but I don't know how deep they go. And again, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know even GROW will touch on things on how to, you know, live out in a new world and cope in a world that's not what your norm is. And I know I was just trying to think today, because I have not sat down and said, oh, what is the magic potion for me, or what does the money look like, or what would I need? I haven't done any of that. I just wanted to kind of fill you guys in on my world a little bit. I know I have to keep in mind as well that I have a medical authority who deals with everything in the jail. So I have doctors, nurses, they have protocols, they have a role in the jail. Now I can step in and say, hey, what's going on with this patient? I have a family member concerned, or even I'm concerned. We do a lot of emails on observations. If a new person comes into the facility, they may not want to be honest with us right in the front door. Because why? I mean, if I'm going to be out in 2 days, I'm not going to tell you my life story. I'm just going to come in, do what I have to do, and get out. It's not for a couple days in that all of a sudden we're like, oh, this person I think is maybe withdrawing. They're starting to sweat a little bit, or they're throwing up, or maybe they're hallucinating, and we know that's signs of alcohol withdrawal. So it's very important also to think about continued education for these officers, continued education on signs and symptoms to look for. We do it automatically. But if there's something more out there or something that we can find that would be a regular training they go through, that's another option as well. But I know that right now when they come in the door, we ask all those questions. It's very important for us to get to the bottom of whatever they may go through in our custody, if we can, and if they're willing to tell us. If they're going to withdraw from anything, it doesn't – they'll come in saying they're going to withdraw from weed, but we know they're not going to withdraw from weed. But we put them on checks like they're going to withdraw from weed because we want medical to look at them. Same thing with cocaine. Same thing with certain things that we know, okay, you're not going to like not having it, but you're not going to withdraw. But heroin or opioids, alcohol are our three biggest things that are major things for us. And at that point, medical is required to see them. They have a protocol. They currently, unless they are current and up to date on methadone or something that's been prescribed by a doctor, and they're just on heroin or they're taking drugs from the outside, they are withdrawn from those medications. And there's a protocol for that as to what they have to take, and what the doctor and nurses have to do to them every shift, every so many hours, blood pressure checks, things of that nature. I can't tell you exactly what the protocol is as far as the meds, but there's one. I know for alcohol, I think it's Librium and something else to help them with that. Now, Librium's a real big shortage right now, which is a big concern as well. But they have a set protocol, and then once they're withdrawn is when we actually can take them out of the area that they're in where they're on special watch. And they can just go in with the normal general population if they can, if their mental health is in the position they can. I kind of just started rattling a whole bunch. I apologize. But is there specific questions? Ms. Michael?
Not just questions. There's more of some statements here, too. I mean, we all see the need of getting some help. We are not a mental health facility. The officers also have a regular job that they're to do. So I don't know how much we can do effectively and then hand them off to an agency or someone else that could further help them, because you're right, once they walk out the door, that's kind of the end of it. So I'm concerned that that we have a lot of multiple issues in there, and we may not be able to tackle many, if any, completely. I think educating the staff is very, very important. I think something, and I've said it multiple times, that education and training on how to deal with things or how to spot things is really important, because that's kind of the first step to finding out which way this person should go in the next line. But I understand we have a heart issue here, but we also have a head issue too, where we have to really think, how far are we going to get involved, and what kind of liability does that put that officer in? If they their heart says, I want to help this, but really they have to be careful with what they do.
That's part of my concern, is the liability piece, because one of the reasons I'm not jumping at bringing something in, because it has to be more than just what I'm doing in the jail. And at this point, we haven't had the funding to help anything beyond that. But I still would love to see, I mean, if we have Rosecrans in there now, and I know I don't have I have a space issue. I know that. I don't have extra space to have people come in and do programming more than I have, or office space. But surely there's something that we can do to try at the door or in our jail to start getting to more people that are in there. Now, we have a good relationship with public health, and they come in and do Narcan training, and we give out Narcan to really anybody who wants it. So we are doing a lot in the jail already that some don't have, but I'm just thinking, surely there's a way, or we can find in the community, you got to find people that want to work it too and staff it, right? So I get that too. As soon as you create a program or you want to have somebody come in, you got to have somebody do it. But I wish I just knew what Rosecrans or some of these places in the state need from us so that I can have a place to take someone. Because I feel like we're letting too many people out that really need to go somewhere else. And again, Champaign County can't fix that. And you have to have also someone who's willing to change and willing to make that. You do, and I get that. So you can't force this. It's just like drug court. We can't force people to go to drug court. They want to try to go to drug court, and they want to pursue that, you know, as an option. So, but I do feel there's probably areas, like I said, even with drug court, whether it be additional supervision they could have if they had the funding to do it. Those situations where somebody calls me and needs something, I know plenty of times I've had individuals in custody that aren't from here. And they're here and they're stuck on the streets, you know, they're getting into drugs, whatever it might be. And when I get wind of it, I'm like, where do you need to go? Because I'll buy you a bus ticket. You know, let's get you on the road. But the key with me is I'm not going to just drop you off at the bus station. We're waiting till the bus shows up and I'm taking you there at that moment, because I've had it happen to me where I've dropped them off thinking, oh, they're good. And next thing I know, they're meeting somebody at the terminal or they're meeting somebody at the shelter. And right now there's too much of that stuff going on in those locations. So it's just not a good place for them.
Jen?
So I took a lot of notes. One thing that we talked about, I think last month, is that, you know, we're obviously this is a countywide issue, right? And what we're trying to do is make sure that we're spending the money in a way that benefits everybody in the county. Unfortunately, you get to deal with a lot of folks who have issues with substance use disorder all over the county. And if they have substance use disorder, especially when it comes to opiates, there's a good chance that you will get to see them. The first thing I have is just a comment. You know, we spend so much money on Rosecrans and reentry. It does seem like, you know, I'm not on the reentry council, but I've spoken to the reentry council. It seems like that should be a pretty simple needle to thread, right? Like that's part of reentry is, so I'm just going to put that out there for people I know who are on the reentry council.
We're working.
And then I have one more comment, and then I'm going to get to the questions, I promise. I actually had the opportunity to speak to Shannon and her staff as far as probation. I always do, is it probation or parole? Parole. Yeah. But as far as probation goes, and I was kind of blown away by how many people they have on their caseload. And I got to see the refrigerator where the urine is stored, and that was... So it's huge. So it's hard to believe that would be probably the most effective spot right now, but that's just a thought. You spoke about how there might be conflicts between the MAT program and drug court, and I guess I wasn't understanding if there is a problem or if you just don't know if there would be a problem there.
I don't know if there would be one. I was hoping to try to reach out to Judge Dyer before I came tonight because I want to get his feeling from it. It was something that I had thought about when Judge Rosenbaum had it, and then, of course, he's recently taken it over. But I definitely think it would have to be in connection with what he feels. If he, you know, if his ideas are to get someone off and get them treatment, I don't want to be putting somebody on and then him upset about it. So I just don't know, Jennifer.
Thank you. And then the only other question I had right now is your medical staff in the jail, are they able to medicate for mental health disorders? That's amazing. Thanks.
I'm sorry. They are. We have a psychiatrist that meets with the individuals, and it's course prescribed. So the medical team, that's all they pretty much do. The mental health team takes care of everything else. So they will, the doctor prescribes, the psychiatrist prescribes, the medical doctor approves for them to distribute the meds. But yeah.
I also don't want to presume to speak for Judge Dyer, but I'm looking back at my notes from the last meeting, and he was the very first person to mention that he would like medication-assisted treatment more available within the community. He even mentioned Vivitrol because it's a shot that lasts for some period of time. Yeah, so the good news is that he's at least signaled he'd be open to that as the director of drug court, so that's helpful. I have just some, they're going to seem like random questions, but it's just because I'm picking through. Have we had any issues with officers being injured as people are withdrawing in the jail, or as people have withdrawn and then they're wishing for more?
I can't say I've had anybody hurt solely because they're withdrawing. In most cases, it'd be because they're mentally ill. So maybe that's coming out as they're withdrawing. But majority of the time, the withdrawing issue is not a problem for us at all. And we're always dealing with substance abuse issues inside the facility as far as contraband. I think we have individuals that probably don't usually use that when they're in there. It's just something that they're learning, and they're getting it through the mail, or which we're working on all the ways to keep that from happening, because the last thing I want is somebody to overdose inside. But they can get, depending upon what it is, if it's Seroquel or Suboxone strips, they can get stuff in weave now, in braids. It can come underneath stamps inside envelopes, which is what we're trying to focus on with the new mail system. But yeah, it happens. And then you're just hoping that contraband isn't coming in any other way. But I can't say it specifically because they've withdrawn, and so they're just trying to seek it.
The reason I asked is one of our experts last month said you'll find that if you have medication-assisted treatment within the jail, that you'll have lower workers' compensation. I was like, that seems like a stretch, but
yeah, I think I know for quite a few jails that were hesitant about it, it's because that's the kind of med that they try to get in a lot of times, or it's the med they try to fight over. And the last thing I want is to have somebody hoarding something that they're going to fight over, or something of that nature. But you know, you never know; it can happen with anything too. So, yeah. But yeah, back to your comment on Judge Dyer. My question would be: is how much he wants that inside the jail? You know what I mean? In the community, it totally makes sense. If it's in the community, I would hope to be able to keep that going in the jail if that's what they're going to be doing. But I still hope the overall, I guess, end result is to not be on anything and to be able to survive. But is that even a far reach? I don't know. I'm not the, you know, physician in the room. So,
other questions right now? Dr. Storr?
Thank you. I know kind of from some of the mental health groups that, some of the folks they're just waiting to get out to use again. And they'll go to drug court because I can do that for a year, whatever it takes, and then I'm back. It's just terrible to hear that, and you're right. It's all up to the individual to make their decision and struggle to keep on the path. How much probation can kind of help try to hold folks? You can't make them, but maybe you can kind of push them really hard. And we haven't had, they haven't come here to ask for anything. And I'm, what it sounds like they they don't have really a whole lot of time. That's kind of one of the reasons why I wanted the extra money for the officer for the drug court, because I know how I've heard from the people going through and from the officers, you know, and the judges, just how important that is. This has got to be no matter what I was thinking about this afternoon, and no matter what decision we make here, how we're going to spend the money, it's going to be wrong. It's going to be misspent. Or won't work like we hope it will, and won't hope like everybody else will, but it'll do some good. Some people will be helped, and I think we may just have to be satisfied with that.
Aaron?
Yeah, thanks. Carrie, have you seen, so this is opioid, I mean, I know it ties in all drugs together, but have you seen, I guess, the population of the county jail, those who are specifically on opiates, have you seen any kind of is like the trend of or percentage kind of holding steady? Have you seen a peak and it's off the peak, or I mean, in your experience in general, you don't have to, you know, be specific, like, yeah, but have you seen that kind of a trend or anything?
Yeah, I think that in my little over 20 years, we've seen the more of the increase now would be the heroin and the opioids, definitely. Your benzos, individuals that started on a pain med, and now it's just continued because they couldn't get off of it. And, of course, heroin. I mean, we know heroin is flying through this community, and now it's being spiked with fentanyl, which is another huge, huge concern to my officers, because I'm not letting them touch anything anymore because we just don't know. The kind of gloves that we purchase, things like that, it adds up, but it's to keep them safe, you know. But, yeah, we've definitely seen a definite change in the last 5 to 6 years, more trending to that type of drug choice.
Are there – is it across all ages, or is there an age group that it seems to be?
I don't think it has an age – I don't think it's discriminating against any age. I think that you're probably seeing – I can't say that the younger generation, they've really touched a whole lot of the opioids yet, maybe necessarily. But I don't want to speak completely on that because I don't have numbers on it. But I feel like we're seeing it a lot more in the opioids and even some of the heroin in the – some female population seems to be very common. Caucasian. I mean, you're actually, like I said, you're seeing it everywhere. I'm just trying to think of the ones I have in there right now that seem to be my repeats. I mean, it's just it is disappointing. And Chris mentioned that. You know, I've been doing this long enough to touch enough people, to talk to them, to hope that they would make the change based off of what I could do at the time in the jail. And I've had a couple different females, just working female housing units, that they come back in and I'll go up and say, you know, what happened now? Where did you go? And unfortunately, a lot of the issue is they have to go right back to where they were. We can't fix their home, and we can't fix the address that they have. And I wish I could, and I wish I could get them enough strength to realize that we can, and that might be part of it too. They don't have that ability to go and get on their own, get them out of the situation they're in. But unfortunately, until we can change what surrounds them, which I know some of our programs try to help them with that. They're trying to explain to them that they're stronger than they believe they are. They can do this stuff on their own. But I've not been in that position where I walked out the doors with nothing and I don't know which direction to go, left or right. How do I get on a bus? How do I get clothes? And next thing you know, they're picking up the next person who's allowing them to get in a car, and it's not a good one. So, I mean, I really think that no matter what you guys do, whatever direction, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the jail. It's just, if we can figure out a better way to touch more lives, even if it's just buying a ticket or getting them a room for the night so they don't have to go back to where they were and have somebody follow up with them. I agree, Jennifer, that Rosecrans, especially through reentry, because when I get a chance, I try to get on there, but my schedule. But I think that there's, you know, so much more we can do, but we still have to have a place in the community, you know, to follow up with them. And what happens when they're at that breaking point? I want them to have a place to call. And I've told plenty If you're in a point where you're getting ready to use, call me. Call the jail and say, I need to get a hold of Captain Vogus because I think this is going to happen. Okay, what can we do? We need to pick you up. Do we need to take you somewhere else? The shelter is not the place to go right now. And I hate to say that, but my husband works the streets and he's seeing it all the time right now. He's using Narcan on a regular basis because of where they're getting it from. And it's not to bust anybody out. It's just, unfortunately, they need to have a safe, clean place to go. And stay the night, just find a place to go, you know, and they just don't have that. They'll commit a crime to come to jail. You know, I'll feed them, we'll give them a shower, but we don't want that either. So.
Any other comments?
I just want to comment quickly on what Dr. Storr said. We will do it wrong, for sure. But yeah, I've been doing this social service thing for a while now. And the moral imperative is probably not to fix everything. The moral imperative is to try, you know, and we will hit the mark with some people, and with some people we will have to come back, you know, with the next year's allotment and try again.
Aaron.
Well, I just, Sheriff Harmon, you're sitting here. I mean, not to look past Carrie, what Carrie said. I know you two talk, but is there any one specific point you'd like to bring forward that maybe we haven't discussed yet? I mean, like I say, I know you, the two of you have excellent communication between you, and Carrie does an excellent job telling us the issues and stuff. Is there just any one point that you would, about this whole opioid crisis, maybe that you'd like to bring forth that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
No, I think it's important to note that it is not just an inmate problem. My deputies are giving Narcan all the time to the same people. And, you know, it's not unusual, even potentially the same night, for deputies to be giving Narcan again to somebody who they just gave it to earlier, just like she mentioned about CPD. So there's been a lot of conversation with opioids. There's been a lot of conversation about mental health response and things like that. And the thing it keeps coming down to is community resources to prevent it in the first place. There is such a disconnect, in my opinion. Now that's a high view, right? But there is such a disconnect between, number one, preventing it, and then number two, if somebody does want to get help when they leave jail, it takes them a very long time to get that help, and there's a lot of things that can happen in between point A and point B. And so I don't have a solution for you, but with both of those topics, opioids and mental health, there is something in the community that needs to happen to get the resources out to these people, because jail is not the place for them.
Just quick, a little history here. I remember back when Carl, Mercy, they used to have a floor where you could send mental health, or they also had addiction, maybe not, well, probably not as bad as we've got going on now, but with those type of things. And in my mind, and I'll say it out here in public, I kind of thought Rosecrans was going to be that type of an agency. I really did. And I've felt that for a long time. And I don't know if that's a conversation that needs to be had, is how much more, because they are being funded. They do have more resources for the people that are out. And I just think that that's a button that needs to be pushed pretty hard right now. And I'll just say that right out in public.
It's my understanding that they don't even do detox anymore.
There's nothing else. I would ask you to please come to the reentry council meeting on Wednesday, so I have support. Our new Misty, whose name I'm forgetting, but Misty's replacement. She's been with them for about 6 weeks now. So I've asked for a better accounting of how they're doing. So if I have someone else there, that would be wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it. Dr. Storr?
To kind of hold up for Misty a little bit, he did what he possibly could, and he knew how to get people the ID cards, the birth certificate, all of the stuff that they needed in order to basically get on with their life. And maybe he wasn't the personality for the job, but I give him, he was handed an awesome task.
I'll second. His heart was very much in it. His replacement being brought up to speed was the question. All right. Thank you so much for your time, both of you. And moving on, we have updates from staff. Hello, staff.
Staff is tired. It was a Monday, right from the get-go. I'm meeting with C-Carts on Wednesday to talk about our interest in being able to provide funding if they could provide more direct assistance to people who are actually trying to address their opioid issues. So I'll let you know how that goes at the next meeting. What else was I supposed to update on? You told me before. Oh, GIS is working on the map. So they're working on it now. She, of course, Leanne reached out directly to like METCAD because, you know, they want data in a very specific way. And so they're working on that now. But she did point out that we should reach out to some of the main police departments and talk with them about coding their data differently. So going forward, we can very clearly see which calls are opioid related versus other drug related, because it's going to take a little bit of dissemination with the way it's been coded up until this point. So I'll work on that piece. But I think she's got like 3 to 5 years of data that she's going to try to build from. So it should be pretty good when we get started. I think she's thinking we should have something after the new year to look at. So
the thing about the data and the police recoding, I think that has to come from METCAD or somebody else, not us. Not us. If they're wanting the data to come to them in a different format, you're to asking all of these departments, even if there's just 8 or 10 of them, to redo something. That shouldn't come from the county. That should come from METCAD and say that that's how they get their reports, or some other agency. I don't think we really have the authority to tell them how to code their issues that they have coming in.
Yeah, it's not coding. And she's talked with Ralph about it in detail, and she gave me a very detailed, here's what we would want to ask them to do going forward. Like, I think drug-related stuff has a specific code, so it's about, in their notes, listing the drug or something. I'd have to go back and read the email. But I mean, she had a very lengthy conversation with METCAD about what it would take to make the data more automated into the dashboard going forward would kind of be the goal. So, and I think we haven't really talked to the other departments or municipalities about the dashboard yet. So I think it's a good conversation starter of like, hey, we're going to build this thing that will be really helpful for you. Could you tweak your data collection to contribute to it more meaningfully? So
I was just thinking it will be interesting to see how people react to that based on their views of how they want that reflected in their communities.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Any other questions for Michelle? Thank you very much for your tireless work. It's very tiring, and you work tirelessly. Thank you.
No problem. Do you know who you want to hear from next? Do you want to hear from probation next? Okay. All right. Things are short-staffed at JDC right now, so I'll reach out to Shannon, but I don't know what her availability is going to be. So.
Reading the room, did we want to hear from the mental health board at some point? We had talked last time about maybe inviting them.
Only for Lynn?
Sorry. We need to ask Rosecrans, what are you doing? How is it working? What's going on with this? And what is the plan going forward, how they work with the jails and the other areas?
I agree, and I will dust off my cross-examination skills because I don't think we're going to get straight answers.
So I heard probation, mental health, and Rosecrans. Okay. Maybe not all at the same meeting.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Whoever might be available. As to, I'm jumping ahead real fast to date of next meeting. Diane and I had spoke briefly, and I think that we'll put it to everybody here. It doesn't make sense to meet until we have the GIS map that's being put together right now. So instead of picking a random date right now, do we want to...
TBA.
Yeah, TBA, and once we have the map and the data, maybe? Yeah, we all agree on that? All right, so I jumped ahead, sorry. Is there any discussion otherwise? That is the only discussion as far as I saw. Chris?
It crossed my mind while we were talking about all of these. And Captain Volgas, bless her heart, said, well, wasn't really sure about what Judge thought. I just kind of wondered if we might sponsor a few meetings to allow the heads and the staffs to kind of mix and collaborate and maybe bring a circle to our horseshoe here so that folks could kind of discuss some things among themselves and see what they might kind of suggest, you know, in that fashion. This is kind of not a very considered suggestion, but I offer it anyway.
I think a meeting of the very involved stakeholders is a great idea.
Do you want to do the meeting with these three groups even without the GIS stuff, or do you want to wait for the GIS stuff to have presentations from these three groups? And Rosecrans.
Mental health
board.
I think it was kind of handy. It was interesting when we had some of the different groups like public health and the Rantoul police and all that to come and they were listening to each other as they were so maybe that might not be such a bad idea.
So sort of like priming them before they come, like, hey, Liz Pollack from the Public Defender's Office, please pay attention attentively to everything else and feel free to chime in, like that kind of thing. In that case, I still think it would be good for us to wait until we have the data so that people have actual, factual, non-anecdotal information to base their assumptions on. But that's me. I think we all agree on that.
The major players, just like what you said, have the major players all in here and give them 5 minutes each and then let them all listen to each other. And then maybe some will start to collaborate a little bit more and then maybe have another idea of something. So that was a great idea, Chris. Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea. I think it's a good idea.
So maybe like a longer meeting in like February or March with all of these groups and kind of like a open house format of like, okay, all right.
But maybe still hearing from Rosecrans and Mental Health Board before then. Like, so that would, the big collaborative meeting would maybe come two meetings from now. One meeting from now would be dealing with the GIS info, hearing from Rosecrans, hearing from Mental Health Board. All right. Anything further that anyone would like to add? All right. We did a lot better this time. At 7:17, I'm calling this meeting adjourned. I know. Much
we
easier.
Learned a lot at the last meeting. Right?
We really did. We did.
I think having that GIS information
will make us a lot we'll know what need, what resources. Mm-hmm.
You're not feeding me something. I can see.
Yeah.
And I believe what you're saying, and everybody has a different way of accounting.
Yeah. Sheriff.
Yeah.